Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Tweet at DriveTimeRTE.
Well, my next guest has recently returned from his latest trip to Ukraine, where he's been helping to redevelop a centre for 100 boys and young men with significant special needs in the Lviv region. Joining me now is media consultant and founder of Effective Aid Ukraine, Tom McEnany. Tom, it's great to have you in studio.
Thank you, Cormac.
You're really welcome, I must say. Can I ask you straight up about this project you're currently working on? We were talking about it during the break there. The redevelopment of Rozdil, isn't that
Rozdil,
right?
Yes. That's correct.
Friends from Home in Lviv. It's a centre for 100...
100 boys and young men. These are aged between 6 and 35, and they all have significant special needs. Some of them also have significant physical disabilities. So a number of them would be wheelchair bound. Some of them went to spend a long time, quite a lot of their time in cots during the day. Many of them are running around and walking, are physically able. Mm-hmm. But the thing they all have in common is they all have special needs. And most of them would have been there. There's about 100. About 80 of them would have been there even before the full-scale invasion. But things got a lot worse when the full-scale invasion happened for Rozdil, in that 20 of those were relocated from the temporarily occupied area of Zaporizhia, which made an orphanage which was already in pretty bad nick. And when I say pretty bad nick, I mean very bad nick. Mm. It made it much
made
more
it worse.
Overcrowded.
Okay. So when you say in bad nick, what do you mean?
If you go into the kitchen,
here.
I will. So first of all, it's very, very basic. There's nothing other than the beds. If you go into the dormitories, there's nothing, and the beds are 40 years old. You go into the kitchen and there will be an industrial cooker, but it's not working. And beside it will be two domestic cookers, which are trying to use and are just big enough for one pot each. And domestic cookers don't yet last kissing time in an industrial scenario, which is why they're not used. Mm-hmm. So they're struggling with the very most basic of equipment just to feed these boys. For instance, they would have a potato peeler that hasn't worked in 10 years, but for technical reasons, they can't get rid of it, which means that they have to peel the potatoes for, which is painstaking work for 100 boys every day, which means the food the boys get is very, very basic. There are a few playground elements, but not very many. One of the things we're doing this summer is we're putting in a full playground and a full outdoor gym. But there's almost nothing for the boys to do. And there's nothing, there are no toys in the orphanage. There are no footballs, there are no basketballs. We went over with a small group of Irish people at Christmas time and we did Santa Claus with all the kids. And it was great because those kids who were able to got to write letters or do videos telling Santa what they wanted, and they all got what they wanted. And while we were there, we did some basic things, which one of my favourite projects is putting in tools for the maintenance people. There were maintenance staff, but they had no tools. They had a hammer and a couple of screwdrivers. So we went over, kitted them out with new power tools and new hand tools, things like ladders and wheelbarrows and the things you need for
basic stuff, really basic stuff.
Really,
what you described
really
there in terms
basic.
Of providing them an area where they can play or expend energy. Anybody, I have two boys at home.
Yeah.
My God, do boys need to expend energy? They need to be active, don't they? And have a purpose every day. And that's what you're trying to provide here.
We're trying to make sure that they have a good space and that they can be engaged. So one of the things we did, I just came back this morning, 2 o'clock this morning. And the last thing I did before I left the orphanage is I did a deal with the maintenance people, who are now my friends, because I've kitted them out with the best gear. And I've said, look, the craft room is really bad. Like there are four or five holes in the floor of the craft room, and we have put craft material in. We did it at Christmas. Every time we go, we put in new craft, but the room itself is in bad nick, so you literally have to be careful where you're walking. So they've agreed that before the end of the summer, the maintenance people will themselves, without us putting any more money into it, they will find the wood and they will fix
that'd
that
be floor. Huge.
And that's huge.
Yeah.
Just having a place where they can do craft, especially in the winter, because minus 30, gets to minus 30 in the winter. But during the summer, when they can go out and play, we want them to have the best play facility.
Okay, so
we're doing everything else.
Tell me what the long-term plan is for Rozdil here, because what you're painting is a dilapidated building with inadequate facilities. So what's the long-term
plan? The worst,
plan?
I've been doing redeveloping orphanages for 25 years and in Belarus, and Rozdil is worse than the worst I ever came across in Belarus. The short-term plan is we'll have a greenhouse that'll be in within 2 weeks. We'll have a playground that'll be in before the end of the summer, and an outdoor gym that'll also be in. We're looking to fund the beds and the dorms, all that will be redeveloped by the end of the summer. We have hit a bit of a logjam in that we were the local authority, which is our partner, the Lviv local authority. And I say local authority, this is responsible for an area of 2.7 million people. It's a big population. But there's been a big uproar about local authorities spending money that doesn't go directly to the war. That happened since we signed an MOU with them in January. And so now they've had to stop investing money in the physical reconstruction, which means that they were to do the physical reconstruction of the kitchen, you know, plumbing, rewiring, retiling, all of that kind of thing, at a cost of about €60,000. There's now this hole, so we're trying to fill that. We're hoping we'll be able to fill that this summer. And then the kitchen, we already have the kitchen there. We already have all the kitchen equipment there, thanks to our friends, the Association of Ukrainians in Ireland and Mishnock Air and two Irish charities. All the equipment is there. All the laundry equipment is there. We now just have to find the funding for its physical.
So it seems to me, to be honest with you, that you've begged, borrowed and stolen from...
Well, and not stolen, continue
maybe,
to.
Not stolen.
Maybe not stolen. But,
yeah, so you've begged and borrowed from everywhere. So
there's a lot of hustling.
There's a financial shortfall then of how much?
There's a financial shortfall of 80,000, 20,000 for the playground, 60,000 for the kitchen. Now, it's 20 of those I was planning on. I knew I was going to have to raise 20,000. 60 of it, I wasn't planning on. Okay. Now, I don't begrudge them. I understand there is a war going on and they're prioritising drones. I fully understand that. But the fact is, these kids have to have a proper place to live.
Yeah.
And we're going to do whatever we can to make sure to have it as quickly as possible.
So you're looking for help here in
I'm
way.
Looking for help. I'm really looking for help.
Is there a GoFundMe page?
There is a GoFundMe. If you look up Ukrainian children with special needs, you can come to that GoFundMe page. That's GoFundMe Ukrainian Children with Special Needs. Or you can contact us directly. And there's a donate button on our website. But you can contact us directly through our website, which is effectiveaidukraine.org. That's effectiveaidukraine.org.
And I think people will be... people like donating if they can to a project like this because they know it's going directly to helping the children
no
that you mentioned there.
We have no staff. We have no administrator. If I incur an administrative cost, my rule is I have to pay for it myself. Yeah. If I incur an expense, like when I went out to Belarus or any of my volunteers who go out to Belarus, they pay their own flights, their own trains, their own accommodation, their own food. Almost all, other than audit fees, which for good governance are paid for by the charity, but they're small, every penny that we go raise goes directly to this particular group of kids with special needs.
Can I ask you generally about the war in Ukraine, the situation in Lviv, what's it like, and also the prospect of an end to the conflict at some point?
Okay, well, there are two big questions. Let me deal with the latter one first. I don't see a prospect of any short-term
end. Not?
And anybody who tells you that there's likely to be a short-term end doesn't understand what's going on. Like, there are two ways that this can end. And one is that you have peace talks of some sort. And the other is that there's a military win, a victory of some sort, you know, that allows for the end of the war. Putin has said that he will only enter peace talks on condition that Ukraine effectively surrender, give up not only the land that Ukraine has, but a load of other land, which is not just surrendering its land. It also means surrendering its people. And Ukrainians, and I know a lot of Ukrainians at this stage, and I have never met one Ukrainian which would countenance surrender to Russia, because they know what it's like for Ukrainians who are living in temporarily occupied areas, and it's hell. And there's no way they're going to visit that on other Ukrainians. So that's not going to happen. The only way this happens is if we give, and by we I mean the West, Ukraine the resources to effectively defend itself against Russia, mm-hmm. to a point where something shifts in Russia and Russia comes to negotiations with a more reasonable mandate. In the meantime, it's tough for Ukrainians. It's really tough. I mean, in some ways, the ways you don't see, like financially, the average wage in Ukraine is about 300, 350 euros a month. But some of the costs, like if you want to go out for dinner, God forbid you should go out for a bite to eat, some of the costs in places like Lviv or Kyiv are the same as in Dublin, which is one of the most expensive cities in the world. Everything in Ukraine is much, it's impossible. I stopped to read a book. I had an afternoon free in Kyiv just before I left, and I stopped at a cafe and I read a book, and four very ordinary looking people approached me looking for money. Now, these weren't drug addicts, or these weren't, there was one teenage boy, there was another obviously a soldier in fatigues who was limping, so an injured soldier, very ordinary people just struggling to get by. And at the same time, bars and restaurants are open and you see some people going out and life, trying to live a life as normal. But then you start to think that actually this is, you're sitting having a cup of coffee in a restaurant somewhere and you're going, yeah, this isn't so bad. And then all the power goes out because Russia has destroyed 50% of the energy infrastructure.
I've heard those stories as well. It's just bizarre.
It all changes. Okay. And it changes. And sometimes people will ignore the sirens. And there's a judgment game that Ukrainians do. Is it really that bad? You know, and they look to their apps and they'll try and decide, should they be making their way to the basements or not?
As you describe that, all I can say is that your work in trying to redevelop Rozdil, this home for the people, the boys and the young men with special needs, is even more impressive, I must say, Tom. And you need that help in terms of funding. And we mentioned the GoFundMe page. If you put in the search "children in Ukraine with special needs," you'll find us.
Thank you,
Cormac McEnany. Great to talk to you, I must say, and keep up the good work. That's media consultant and founder of Effective Aid Ukraine. Tom, thank you.
Thank you, Cormac.